Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice, along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine, because we are starting. Welcome to another episode of the Live Free Podcast. I am so excited today to talk to Julie Calcote for the second time on the show. We're going to chat about where her freelance business is at now. Plus, we are going to dive deep into talking about the mindset and the kind of like focus of the person who's hiring, so that you have some insight that you can apply when you are going through the hiring process and are putting yourself out there to network and talk with potential clients. Julie, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so excited. You can't get rid of me. I'm like a boomerang. I'm just going to keep coming back.
Hey, please do. But like, let's not make it two more years.
For sure.
So Julie, give us a quick intro about who you are, what you do. And then I'd love to hear, since you first came on the podcast, like 2 years ago, almost, how your business has grown over the last 2 years.
It's so fun. So my name is Julie. I went through Michaela's course. I found Michaela 3 years ago this spring. And so I was telling her, it's just hard to believe. It's been 3 years already. But my first year freelancing, I had a great time. I went through Lauren's podcast management course. I worked with clients that I loved, and I'm still in touch with many of them today. And then I found the world of online business managers, OBMs. Mm-hmm. And once I found them, it was like I found my home. It was my people to another level. So I became certified and then started working with clients at the OBM level. Then recently this year, I decided to still work with my retainer clients, but launching a course that helps entrepreneurs. There's sometimes a gap between when people want to hire an OBM, but they know they need maybe some other team members first, even just a VA. So I decided to do something to help bridge that gap so people can kind of get some really simple systems down and bring on those team members. So
yeah,
that's what I'm up to now.
That's an amazing 3 years, Julie.
It has been the best. Like I was telling somebody the other day, they said, like, what course have you taken that has made the most difference? And I was like, it's Michaela's, because It was like that shift in belief. I started out thinking, I doubted myself so much.
Yeah.
Like I didn't think that I could do it, but just, you know, your encouragement and the training and just putting my head down and following the steps. I was like, oh, I could learn from people, follow their steps, and then have success. And so it's really life-changing.
Yeah. Wow. So now you've kind of are starting to focus on helping clients hire and moving into helping just, you know, other business owners hire. How did you decide to niche down into this specific area of like the OBM world, or how did that kind of come about in the last year or so?
Yeah, I there's so many fun things we get to do as OBMs, right? There's like a strategic planning, there's hiring and managing the team. Sometimes there's some project management involved. They're just really cool things that you get to do. But for me, I love the team part of it, because I have seen with what I set up for clients, they get a lot of freedom just getting out of the day to day, but the team members can bring so much joy, and they can just take it to the next level of getting the person out of certain tasks or freeing them up. And then also building a culture that they want, that like that they can thrive on, that just fills them with so much joy. So that part I love so much. And so that's really, for my retainer clients, they do it all, but for like something that I just wanted to bring to the world, that was definitely what I get really lit up about.
Yeah. So in your work with clients, you've been really involved in the hiring process.
For sure. There are clients that don't even meet the people that we hire until they're already hired.
Yeah.
They have turned that process over to me and I joyfully take it on.
That's so cool. So can you walk us through what happens on the hiring side, like before a position is posted over, you know, because when you're hiring for clients, there's very much a system. It's not someone posting in a Facebook group, I need a social media manager. Who do you recommend?
For sure.
Can you walk us through like what is going on behind the scenes from some of those more like positions that get submitted to the OTO job leads board?
For sure. I think there's a process of identifying a need that we have on the team first. And so making sure that we're clear on what we need. And then we're also clear on what that person will be doing, like what tasks. And do we have those tasks? So is this something that somebody is going to jump into? And we're going to develop processes as they work through certain things because they might be new? Or is this stuff that we've done before and we just need to document it? So that way there's an onboarding system. So when somebody comes in, we can say, okay, here's week one, we start here. Week two, here's what you're going to do. And then we also have surveys built in. So we're keeping track on like, is this making sense to you? Is this helping you understand like where this task and this job falls into the business as a whole? So I like to do that. And then also really making sure that we're tweaking our job description and our application to fit the client's personality. We want as much of the client's personality to come through in every part of the hiring process. And so that those ideal people that we want to work with that bring the magic, the combination, that they're attracted to our posting. And that people who aren't a good fit, then they can look at that and say, I don't know if this like place is a good fit for me.
Can you talk about why that's so important?
It makes a huge difference. I think one of my clients is super outgoing. So if I filled her team with a bunch of introverts, she would feel no energy coming from them. And she loves the energy mm-hmm. coming from the team. And so it's a balance. But I think if people understand who they're working for, some, let's say an entrepreneur might love Boxer and want to talk on Boxer all day. And you can't match them with somebody who hates that form of communication, that would just cringe inside whenever somebody sent them a Boxer, you know?
Oh my gosh. That's something we did when we've hired the last couple of positions, because that's how we communicate over here. It's Voxer. And in our description, when we posted, it was like, this client, me, is a pain in the butt, will not respond to your emails. I will not respond on Trello. I will send you a Voxer, but I want everything on Trello. So if you do not like Voxer, also I send Voxes in the moment, like when I'm thinking, please ignore them. But if like someone sends you a Voxer at 10 o'clock at night because an idea popped up and that stresses you out, like this is not the position for you.
Right.
Not that I want like anyone is on call and like needing to respond. And I say that, I'm like, idea popped in my head, ignore until you're working, which yeah. That comes as like, you know, we have a relationship. People realize Michaela's just crazy.
But they need to have their own boundaries set up and they need to be comfortable with their own boundaries. Because like for me, I have my phone notifications turn off at a certain time and they turn on at a certain time in the morning. And also on the weekends, they don't respond to things. So My clients could send me messages all weekend and we have the understanding, like when I work again, like on Monday, mm-hmm. that's when all these things are going to get responded to. And mm-hmm. it doesn't stress me out because I've had those boundaries, but definitely. And you know, there are people that it's just not a good fit for them and that's okay.
Yeah. 100%.
But I'm just not going to match those clients with the applicants that don't appreciate that type of communication.
Right. And so I think something that people can do as they're looking at those job applications is really pay attention to some of the culture paragraphs, right? Because I feel like I'm going through my own memory of my own experience of like seeing postings and applying. Anytime there's a job, I was like, oh yeah, I'm applying, I'm applying, I'm applying, I'm applying. And I only looked at the job description, not so much the like culture statements, mission, vision, values, and like other things that would be important. Because I was in that state of like, anyone and everyone. Like, I'll take anyone who will hire me to be my client. And so I think if you're someone who's there, like looking through that piece to make sure there's no red flags for you of like, oh yeah, that's not going to work for me. That's not going to work for me. And looking at that and deciding and being comfortable knowing that you don't have to apply to everything just because it's a job posting.
Right. Or questions that you want to clarify, because there are things in the job posting that you might say, well, this could be okay if that. And then mm-hmm. that's something that you write down and you ask that question.
Yeah. Would you ask that question before applying, or would you ask it like if you applied and got down to like the interview piece?
It would depend on what it was. I don't mind mm-hmm. if people ask a question beforehand, but sometimes for some of the postings, I might got 50 applications or something.
Yeah.
So it might be hard to respond individually, but it's not to say that you can't, but I would definitely, if it was a huge red flag for me, I probably would just pass on it because there's so many amazing opportunities out there. But if it's something that I wasn't super clear on, or doing my research about the client I came across like in social media or on their website that I had a question about, then I would just wait and clarify it at the interview.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. That sounds great. So then this all happens behind the scenes, and then, you know, you post the position wherever you're posting it. You are a huge supporter of our OTO job leads board. And so I thank you so much for utilizing that and for giving back to so many of our members. But you post that wherever you're posting it, and then people start applying. I have some questions about like this application process and like what you see there, but we'll go forward and then we'll come back to this. After the application process, what happens? Let's kind of just like walk through the rest of, you know, the process, because some people listening might not really have been started yet, and they're kind of in that, okay, wait, what does it even look like, to the process to get hired?
For sure. And I just want to touch on one thing you said, because I definitely am a huge supporter of the OTO group and the job board, but it's equally as selfish as it is just fun for me, because I can post things sometimes in multiple places and I can tell with almost 100% accuracy who's coming from your group, because the quality of what they're submitting, the quality of their follow-ups, their portfolios, they just stand head and shoulders above almost all of the rest. So it's very selfish on my part because I love the group, but what you do and what you teach those gals really makes a huge difference and makes my job so much easier.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yay. So the application, once we do we'll post a job, let's say we post it in OTO, I'll have an application for my clients. I think pretty much everybody's in ClickUp, but we'll have an application that we'll ask them to come fill out. And then once the application process is, you will have like a couple days. Usually I just leave it for 2 or 3 days open. And then we'll look through, pick out who we're going to interview, and I'll schedule those interviews for as soon as I can. And then I'll give the gals a date, like, okay, we're going to talk about this decision. We'll make a final decision on this date, and then we'll reach out to you and let you know. So the application process, when people submit, I definitely say, and you haven't asked me this, but I'll just, just jump in. The more personality, because we're trying to put a lot of personality into what we're doing, but the more personality you can show in your application answers, the better chance that you'll get an interview, and just a better chance that we'll get to know you better. So I can tell right away, like, is this a good fit for somebody else? Because sometimes like really qualified candidates, you know, that could be great, they just put one sentence answers. Like, I would love to work with you guys. Well, but why? Or tell me, sometimes we'll ask really fun questions. Like, what's your favorite show tune or song, or what's your favorite book? And sometimes people write a paragraph, and that's super helpful because we're getting so much information from you. And there's a large volume of applicants standing out like that. It could make the difference between you getting an interview and not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Now with the application process, in that, are you having people like submit anything? Do you do any like test projects, or does that fit in with like how you approach hiring at all?
I don't love test projects. I think sometimes they're for very technical positions. I could see a small, less than 1 hour paid test project being appropriate. But otherwise, I'm not a fan.
But none of this unpaid,
never, ever, ever. Let us not.
Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Yeah. So, but I see a lot of people doing that.
You know, I can't speak to it, but sometimes I wonder if people are just trying to get unburied and get some of their work done. Or, I mean, it is sort of a corporate thing. So I do think there are people that either from advice from coaches or because of their background in corporate, they might bring that then to their hiring process now.
Yeah.
If there was an unpaid test project, if for me personally, I would pass on to the next.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks.
Right. But we do ask if people submit, I leave an optional section at the bottom of the application so people can submit portfolios, samples of work. It could be, you know, websites that they built or social media graphics they've created. And I do leave a prompt, like if you want to record us a video, like a introduction, then you can leave that here too. And I have to say, it's very rare that people will record a video, but I can't think of a time where somebody has taken the time to make a video and I haven't scheduled an interview, at least to talk to them further. Cause that's,
really?
It's so rare that it really shows me an above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Wow. With the applications, how many people are you getting on calls with? Does it depend? Or do you are you I'm only picking three to get on calls with, or is it I'll talk to however many people stand out?
I usually try to start with three. And then if nobody in those three just grabs me and I feel that magic, then I'll keep going. I've never had to do more than five in that range, right?
Yeah, 3 to 5. Cool. Just curious. So let's talk about the application and or email that is sent. Because some people, do you have people just submit a form or do you have them send an email in with an application?
We have them submit an application, and some people do send an email, which I really like. And that's also super rare is I'll usually have two or three people say, hey, I submitted an application. This is my name. Just wanted to introduce myself and tell you a little bit more about me and my business and why I'm interested in this position. And I love those. I take any emails that are sent and I copy and paste them and put them in the comments of the application form so we could see that they really just took the extra step.
Yeah. Let's talk about what things people do in that application process to stand out. You've mentioned either the video, you've mentioned showing your personality. You've mentioned if it is that Google form, sending that email intro, any other suggestions or tips on how to stand out and increase your chance to be the one who gets on that interview?
Yeah, I would say use something like the free Grammarly plugin or some type of tool to double check your spelling and grammar. I can't tell you how many times I've posted this is a position where the attention to detail is the most important thing. And the applications that have spelling errors. And there are people that, there was one gal in particular recently that I loved and I wanted to interview her so bad, but she had so many things misspelled. And then also double check the owner's name and the business name spelling, because it's just hard, even though it's a simple mistake, it's hard not to get annoyed when somebody misspells like the owner's name or the name of the business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've noticed, because we've done applications before, very similar to how, like, how you're, I think how you kind of do them, except we don't do a form. We have them send an email, but it's like question one, question two, question three, just because we don't like pulling up something additional, but it's the exact same kind of like concept in a sense. And I think because it's not like submitting a cover letter in a resume and there's like question one, question two, questions, some people get really lazy in their responses. And I don't think they realize how important like those responses are. Like that is what someone has to go off of do I want to talk to this person or do I not? And you could be the best person for the job, but if you're just giving a one sentence answer, it's not going to showcase that.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we ask a question on an application, like there was one instance, I don't do this often, but there was one instance where we just wanted somebody who was able to be a little bit more self-sufficient, be able to Google things. Like it could be that it was a newer position and we just needed, you know, that type of personality in there. So one of the questions I asked was, what is the first name of the client's child? And it wasn't like a big hidden secret. It was their last post on Instagram had that like information plus a ton of other, like it was not hard to find. And people would like direct message me and say, I can't find it. Can you tell me the answer? No. That's the whole point, is that you're supposed to be able to figure it out. And if you're already asking me the answer, that's a no.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Any other, like, what are some typical questions that are included on most applications?
I think the more experience the position needs or like some type of technical skill, we're going to be asking about what's your familiarity with these programs. But for any entry level position, I'm just mostly trying to get an idea of fit. I'm trying to see what your business goals are. And that's not like an esoteric question. That's like some people, and bless their heart, they're very upfront, like could be a podcast agency and they say, I want to build my own podcast agency. So I want to learn everything I can about that from client. Well, that's not going to be probably a great fit. And so we're asking like, what are your goals? Are you looking to, and for us too, because if we want to potentially bring them on for more hours, are they interested in working more hours with one client or do they thrive off of the diversity there? That's an important question that I always ask. And then for any general position, like a VA or entry level position, I'm asking a lot more personality questions.
So could you speak to hiring some of the, like the beginners or more entry level positions? Because that's one thing I know so many people are like, how am I ever going to get hired if I don't have any experience? If I don't know how to do these things, like how, why would someone hire me?
I think you probably know this better than I do, but so many people say they have no experience, but A, they're coming from a background of tons of experience that's super relevant. It's absolutely jaw-dropping sometimes when people say like, well, I have been doing this, and I'm like, you're way overqualified for anything, you know, online. But my philosophy is personality first and then skill second. We will train the heck out of you on anything we want you to know. For any of our VA positions, I'm like, here's Slack and I will walk you through. Here's how you set up your account. Here's where you put your picture. Like, we'll train you on stuff. And so I'm not so worried. If you have a go-getter mindset, if you're motivated and you're excited to work for us, if you're willing to like take on new challenges, that's really what I'm looking for in any positions. And then if somebody is like later on and it's more like a podcast manager or a social media manager, I'm looking to just see that you're passionate about what you're doing. If you're reinvesting in yourself, that's a great indicator that if you've taken something because you know this is like the next level you want to take, I love to hear about those things too.
Very cool. So when you get on calls, let's say, you know, someone's going through this application, they do this, they're getting on the calls. What mistakes do you see at this point? Or it doesn't, we don't have to do negative. We can see, like, we can also talk about, like, what do you see that works well at this point?
I'm always happy. And I know you teach this about people taking charge of the conversation. I'm happy when people do that. It's not like a make or break it for me, but I do love that initiative of when they're like, okay, here's an outline of how I see this going. Does that work for you? Let's have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that's fun. So that's really great. And I also love when people come with questions. Like, there's never too many questions. Ask me anything, but also peppering in information that you've learned in research about the client. So I asked you something and you say, well, you know, I agree with the client. I heard her speak about this in a podcast interview and I totally agree with XYZ. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fun way to, instead of saying, well, I listened to their podcast and I did this. I think if you can use examples of what you learned, sometimes even people come because if they see that I'm doing the hiring, they'll reference like my first interview with you and say, oh, I listened to your interview and you said this. So it's like, that's way extra.
Yeah. But
anything that you can say, well, on your website, the client talked about this, or I just love when people can show that they have done some, you know, some research into the business and or the client and really just take charge if they want to and ask me a ton of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you plan to take charge or?
I do. Yeah. I think that especially if I'm hiring like a VA or somebody that, you know, is starting out, let's say in the last year, they're usually very nervous. And so, and that's okay. Like I vividly remember my first calls and how terrified I was. Like it was just, I would shake in my boots like to get on those calls. And now I feel like that's all I do, you know, like get to talk to fun people all over the world. So I can respect that. And it doesn't, it's not a make or break. Like it's okay if somebody's nervous, but if they're confident enough to take charge of the call, I'm all for it. Like, I love that. I love that initiative.
Awesome. A lot of times there seems to be, I would say if you're the freelancer, you want to be prepared in most cases to lead that call. And if you're unsure, like my rule of thumb is like, whose booking link are we using to get on calls? If I'm hiring and I'm sending my booking link, I might be coming to that more wanting to run that call. But if I book a call with, if I'm like interviewing a ads manager and they're like, okay, here's the link to get on my calendar, I would assume they're going to run that call since we're using their calendar. And if you're ever confused, then you can always ask like at the beginning, hey, I was planning, you know, typically these are how my call goes. Does that work for you?
I love it.
And go from there and just ask. So what are some red flags that we should look out for when we're applying for opportunities?
I think whatever you can glean out of the initial posting, and sometimes people, there's not a lot to go on, but if you can look at their social media, if you can look at their website, for example, if you looked at their social media and their working all weekend and they're like, oh, it's another weekend working. And, you know, it could just be an indication that they need to make the hire, but also that could be a red flag that they're looking for someone to work those type of hours and not have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I also think if they're asking for a test project, like we talked about, I would really, really think about that. And decide if that's worth it to you. And I definitely would be doing paid test projects when all possible. Mm-hmm. If it's like 10 or 15 minutes, but I don't usually see them that quick. They usually seem to be more involved.
Yeah. And it's fine to pass on, again, applying for positions that you're not the right fit for.
I wish that, I mean, from my point of view, and having just done this, you know, for 3 years, there's an abundance of positions. And I know what it feels like to be in the beginning and feel like, am I ever going to land a client? Or I only have one client and like, how am I going to find more? It does feel And sometimes you just don't know, right? You're just like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know what type of people I like to work for. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like Voxer. That's okay. You can definitely figure that out. But it's important to have somebody like your group to be able to go to your coaching calls or a business bestie that you could say, hey, this, like, I've been doing this for a couple months and this is some of the things happening. Just be willing to pivot and free up that space as soon as you realize it's not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all doing this, you know, to have a business, but also I do think like in many days it's harder than just going to work for somebody else. There's immeasurable perks, but we're not doing this to get up and hate what we're doing every day.
So mm-mm.
If you find yourself in that position, just don't be afraid to free up the energy. Even my own clients, when they let go of their most difficult clients, the amazing new clients and the things that flow into their business, it's almost like magic how mm-hmm. quick it happens and how it happens mm-hmm. every single time. So don't mm-hmm. be afraid to, if you find that you're not loving something, to let it go.
Yeah. So Julie, I think my last question for you would be, could you speak, I think one thing that could be very helpful is I know a lot of people that go through the application process and maybe don't get the interview or get the interview and then don't get hired. It can feel like you're being rejected and it can feel so painful and just can be discouraging for a lot of women. And I know it's not rejecting. It's not like, it's not personal. So I just wondered if you could speak to that, to maybe encourage some of those women who maybe have applied or gotten on the calls and haven't and have gotten no's, and like what we can learn from that.
For sure. I mean, I think there's two answers to that. And if you're getting a lot of interviews and you're not landing any of them, there's a point where you know, for the women in your program, I know they do this, come back to the group and say, I'm getting on all these interviews and like nothing's happening. What can mm-hmm. I do? And come up with some strategies and some tools to tweak the interview process. But in general, I always think when I'm talking with people, like I'm thinking of myself as a matchmaker. And so mm-hmm. there are people that I talk to and I know they would be so unhappy in the position that I'm interviewing them for. Once I meet with them, like say, I'm mm-hmm. just thinking, okay, this, your personality is amazing, but it's not going to fit in this company, in this culture, in this position. And so I'm not going to tell you that in the call, like you would hate this job so much, but I feel like it's redirecting you to something else. And there are times when people have just blown me away for interviews and they might not be a fit for that client, but I have kept their information. And then whenever either A, something outside of what I'm doing, so one of my colleagues or something has a position, I send that to them. But also when my clients have openings that I know they'd be a fit for, I reach out and ask them, could you please apply for this? Because I think you'd be amazing for it. And so it's not that it's a rejection of the person. It's just saying like your skill set or your personality isn't like the perfect fit at this time for this client. It really mm-hmm. is not personal at all. It's like, let's get you into a place that you will be so happy in because you would hate it.
Mm-hmm. And you're using the term, like you're a matchmaker there. And you know, when you're not there, like if someone's applying elsewhere or whatnot, if they're going, the client is directly hiring, the freelancer needs to view this opportunity as a mutual selection process.
Yes.
It is not just up to the client or the person hiring. Like you have just as much say in if you want to work with this person or if this client is for you too. So while yes, they might, you know, if we're using the term interview, they might be interviewing you and you might, but you're also interviewing them to make sure that they're a match for who you want to be talking with and waking up with Voxers from as just as much. And I feel like that comes with more experience, but if you're just starting out, please, please, please try to look at this as a mutual selection process. It's not a rejection of you if you don't land the client. So I think just knowing that is encouraging.
Yep.
And evaluating too, being willing to look at it after, you know, the pain of, oh gosh, I really thought I was a fit. Mm-hmm. Looking at it with just fresh eyes, a clear mind, and seeing, okay, was there something I could have done, or was it really just not the fit? And that's okay.
And there's definitely times where I've gone back. I can think of one interview process in particular where we had so many great applicants that I think over the next year, I ended up hiring every single person I interviewed eventually. Mm. And so, like, I love all of you guys. We've identified this, like, this is the immediate thing that we need help with. And then as we were able to, and as we needed help with other things, then I would just write that person and say, hey, are you still interested? Let's talk about this. And so sometimes it also means not right now. Mm-hmm. I don't often have people do this, but if they wrote me afterwards, I love follow-ups. There's never like a such thing as too many follow-ups that I've ever received, at least. Like, don't stalk me. if you write and say, hey, really, this is the type of position that I know that I would love. If you see anything like this, or if your clients are ever hiring for this, if you keep me in mind, I'd be super grateful. And just even staying in touch, I think that's a great way to, especially when you're working. I see a lot more now OBMs, especially hiring in the group, or mm-hmm. just people hiring in groups. And so staying in touch with the people that are hiring for clients, I think, is a great way to find, because now they've met you, mm-hmm. they know you. And when a position opens up, I can think, oh yeah, this person would be perfect for that. And it's a great recommendation for both parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And like the following up and kind of forming those relationships of people, you don't want to just form relationships with clients, like your peers, people who are in your peer circle who are also freelancers, maybe a couple steps ahead of you, maybe a couple steps behind you. Like, that's a great community to be active in, and finding your people who do what you do, maybe a different service, but it's like they become your colleagues.
For sure. And it's great to be able to reach out to people too, because even now, if I get a recommendation from certain people, I'm like, well, that person, unless they like really screwed things up, they're hired, because yeah. I trust that person's recommendation. They know about what we're looking for, and it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'd love, like, as we wrap up, how did you take, you know, the work that you're doing for clients, how did it go from like doing this work, loving the hiring process, to starting a course?
I think, like anybody doing this, I always say, like, I'm totally unhirable, right? I do love so much being behind the scenes, and that's definitely where I'm comfortable. But I think of a course as serving people. Like, I think mm-hmm. about how much finding you, let's say, changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I could not imagine my life if I hadn't have taken that chance, like what it would look like. It would be so drastically different. And so I think about a course in the same way. I could only hope to make that kind of impact, right? But to think about, I want to serve people, and I can only work with so many people. There's only so many hours yeah. in a day. And so to be able to say, here's some things that I have learned, and here's how I could serve you, and you can take that information and I could help you find your OBM, your own OBM, your own VA. I could get you out of the day-to-day in your business to get you back to what you're doing best and make a bigger impact yourself. So I like to think about that ripple and just how I could serve more people. And that's really mm-hmm. where the idea for the course came from.
And what is your course like about, and who is it for? Maybe I'm like, okay, there's been a lot of people that have come to me and been like, I need to hire a virtual assistant. I need to hire a, you know, social media manager, or like someone. Do you have any resources on that? And I don't have anything on hiring. And so I just love to kind of hear more about like, who is the perfect person and how you can help us in your course.
Yeah. It's called Design Your Dream Team. So it really takes online entrepreneurs mm-hmm. specifically, and walks them through the process of, you know, we look at starting out your vision and values, making sure those are really clear, because that's going to impact everything sort of down the line.
Yeah.
And we're also looking at, what are your packages? What are your offers? And do we need to make any tweaks or optimize those? But then we're building some very simple systems. If you don't have, there's no shame in not having a system. I've worked with very successful people that starting out, they might come to me and they say, I've got Google Drive and a yellow pad of paper. Like, that's how I'm running my whole business. That's okay. But you really need a simple system to be able to assign tasks, to know that the mm-hmm. tasks are being completed. So somebody can get in and work on those things. So we're going to do that. We're going to work on, I have a ton of swipe files, but there's also, modules about writing your perfect job description, doing your application, the interview process, and then what happens after. Like, the team culture piece is, now you have people that are working with you or a person, that's where team culture needs to come in. And you need to think about, sometimes you might have to have tough conversations. What do those look like? And how can we have a successful, tough conversation? What do I need to do if I need to let somebody go? Like, what does that process look like? How do I protect myself? But also just, how can I make that as smooth for everybody as possible? So it's kind of the A to Z of bringing on somebody in your team.
Yeah. Going from being solo, do it all, to delegating.
Yeah. It's that mindset shift from solopreneur to, I don't want to say entrepreneur, but CEO, founder. You're growing your impact. And so it doesn't mean that you need to have a giant team, but it usually means that you're going to have at least one or two people supporting you in the wings and making all the magic happen.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Julie, where can we learn about the course?
It's julietraining.com/dreamteam. Or awesome. If you go to my Instagram, which is just Julie Calco OBM, there's a link in my bio.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Check it out and follow her on Instagram. Anywhere else we can go to learn more about you?
Those are great places. I have a website that's just juliecalcote.com. If you want to look at, the packages that I have, there's some VIP day offers and some things there. So if you just want to know what I like to eat in my spare time,
I'll tell you what it is. She loves watermelon. you crack me up. You and my son, Tommy. Thomas loves watermelon too.
Day.
Hate it. It's so messy. It's so messy.
Oh, no, I can live off of it.
Oh, man. Well, Julie, thank you so much for coming on and just kind of diving deep into this hiring process and what freelancers can really do to showcase their talent, showcase their skill set, and get on the discovery calls with the right people.
Definitely. And if, people have questions, my DMs are open. I'm happy to, from either side, answer questions, hang out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Julie. We really appreciate you being on here.
Thanks, Michaela.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.